It is sometimes difficult to put the resurrection of Jesus Christ in proper perspective. To the one extreme, there are those who remember his resurrection once a year, emphasize it at this time of the year, and then forget it the rest of the year. But to the other extreme, we can let that affect us to where we do not remember the resurrection of Jesus as we ought and recognize how important it is. The longer I study the Bible and think about the entirety of Christ and what he means, I am convinced that the resurrection of Jesus may very well be the most important part of his life. We have a tendency to emphasize his birth, to emphasize his death, and certainly we have the commandment to remember his death each Lord's Day. But you know, his birth would not mean very much without his resurrection. If Jesus were still in the tomb, what would his birth mean? And the cross of Jesus Christ, as important as it is, and as important as what happened there, would really not have any meaning to us if it were not for the fact that the tomb is empty. And so it seems to me that we need to try to always put the resurrection of Jesus Christ in proper perspective. There is probably no area of the Bible that talks about the resurrection of Jesus any more than the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Almost the entire chapter is given to discussing the resurrection, what it means, the impact that it has upon the world, and the relationship that it has to all other parts of God's plan. In the section that Brother Holland had just read, at least twice, maybe more in that passage, he raises the question, if Christ be not risen, or at least presents the idea for us to consider what the situation would be if Jesus had not come forth from that tomb. I want us to think about that this morning, basically just looking at the text, though there are other scriptures that I've given to you that are related, and we'll mention them. But basically, looking right in the text, notice first in verse 14, he says, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. If you happen to be reading from the New King James Version that's in the pew, I think you'll find the word empty. Our preaching is vain. Our preaching is empty. Our preaching is worthless if Christ be not risen. Notice back in the first part of the chapter, he says, I have preached unto you the gospel, you've received it, you stand in it, and by it you are saved, in the first two verses. But then in the very next two verses, he talks about how important it is that Jesus was crucified, that he was buried, and that he came forth the third day. And then in the next several verses, he mentions different ones who saw him and could give a witness or could give proof that Jesus came forth from that tomb. And he uses that in connection with the fact that the gospel has been delivered unto them. What is the gospel worth, folks, if Christ be not risen? What would it be worth to take the gospel to the whole world if Christ be not risen? He says our preaching would be vain and empty if Christ is not risen. Earlier in the book of 1 Corinthians, at chapter 2, verse 2, he said, I'm determined to preach nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Crucifixion of Jesus is important, but he's not the only one who was ever crucified. He's not the only one who ever had his skin broken. He's not the only one who was ever nailed to a cross. In fact, if you just look at the person on the cross that day, the crucifixion of Jesus was not very different from other crucifixions. It's who he was and why he was being crucified that made the cross important. But it is the resurrection of Jesus that makes the cross stand out and proves the cross to be what the Bible says it is. If Jesus had been crucified that day and buried in that tomb, and 3 days later was still in that tomb, and a week later was still in that tomb, and today is still in that tomb, the cross would have no meaning. And you and I could talk about it, but we could not preach it in the way that we preach it today. It is the resurrection that makes the preaching of the cross effective today. In 1 Peter 3:21, he says, "The like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." When one is baptized, there's no power in the water. The act itself is not important unless it is connected to the blood of Jesus Christ. He says here that baptism is involved as a part of the plan of salvation, but it would have no meaning whatsoever if it were not for the resurrection. Isn't it interesting that he mentions the resurrection in that very verse? That is because of the resurrection of Jesus. And when we are buried in baptism in the likeness of his death and burial, death to sin, buried in baptism, we are raised in the likeness of his resurrection. The resurrection makes the preaching of the plan of salvation important. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 and 21, he talks about the foolishness of preaching in connection with the preaching of the cross. And he says the world tends to think this is foolish to talk about someone dying on the cross and shedding his blood and that making it possible for our sins to be remitted. But he says it's God's wisdom that that's the way it is. But again, I emphasize that it's the resurrection of Jesus that makes that cross effective and meaningful to us today. And you could go on and just about mention any subject that any of us preachers might use, and no subject would be important, and no subject from the Bible would have any meaning if it were not for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Someone could come back and say, "Oh yes, you're preaching the Savior, but where is he? You're talking about someone who came to save you, but where is he?" We can say he's not in the tomb. And that makes our preaching important. When we preach anything that's in the Word of God, from Genesis 1, as he looked forward to the coming of Jesus, to Revelation 22, to look back to the fact that Jesus was here, anything that is preached from God's Word is made effective and meaningful because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In that same verse, he says, "If Jesus be not raised, then is our faith vain." Our faith is empty. That faith which comes from hearing the Word of God, Romans 10, 17, would be empty if that which is in the Word of God is not true. But we believe that which is in God's Word is true, and therefore it makes our faith meaningful and makes our faith strong. It's interesting to go to the last part of each of the four accounts of the gospel. You are aware that in three of these there is the Great Commission. Notice, if you will, in Matthew 28, 6, that the tomb is empty, and then in 19:20 he says, "Go and teach to all nations." In Mark chapter 16, verses 5 and 6, he discusses the empty tomb. And then in 15 and 16, he says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." In Luke, the 24th chapter, verses 6 and 7, he discusses the empty tomb, and then he says, "It is written that Christ suffered and rose again the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning first at Jerusalem." Not only in Luke's account does he mention the empty tomb in the earlier part of the chapter, but in the account of the Great Commission itself, he says it pleased Christ to rise again the third day. In John's account, the empty tomb is mentioned in the earlier part of the 20th chapter. Then in the 26th verse, in the next few verses, Jesus appears to Thomas and says, "Look, here are the prints of the nail, and here's the print of the spear in my side." And that's where Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." He saw the proof. And then in verses 31 and 32, or 30 and 31, he says, "These things are written that ye might believe, and that believing you might have life through his name." What is it today that gives us the faith in God and his promises? He says it's the resurrection. If Jesus be not raised, our faith would be vain. How could we believe in a God that promises salvation if he could not bring his son forth from the grave like he said he would? How could we believe that we will have a resurrection if Jesus were not resurrected from the dead? Our very faith that we have in God and in his word is based upon the fact that Jesus came forth from the grave. Then in verse 17 he says, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. He mentions that again. And then he says, ye are yet in your sins. If the resurrection of Jesus Christ did not happen, you and I have never received forgiveness for any sin. Because, you see, it was the resurrection that proved the cross where the blood was shed for our sins. And so the forgiveness of our sins is dependent upon the resurrection. Later in the chapter, he says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The strength of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is in the setting of the discussion of the resurrection. Giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus had said in John 8:24, except you believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. You may notice if you're reading that the little word he is in italics, which means really the original text said, except you believe that I am, ye shall die in your sins. And remember, the great I am is used to describe God. Christ is saying, unless you believe that I'm the Son of God, you're going to die in your sins. But how could we believe that he is God's Son if he had not been raised? He was raised for our justification. Romans 4:25 says, and Hebrews 10:9-10 says that he was offered once for all. The very fact that Jesus was raised from the dead gives us faith in what God says about the fact that he will forgive us of our sins. How could we believe that the blood of Christ was important if we believed he were still in the tomb? The blood of bulls and goats and heifers could not take care of the sins of man. In reality, though they were used to forward, in a sense, the sins of the people who lived before Christ, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Hebrews 9:22. It is the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross that makes it possible for you and me to have remission of our sins, and that's one of the greatest blessings we have in God, because we all make mistakes and we need forgiveness. But if Jesus were still in that tomb, how could we believe that his blood meant anything? It is the resurrection that proves the death where the blood was shed that makes it possible for the forgiveness of our sins. And then he says in verse 18 of this chapter, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Connect that to verse 17, which starts out, if Christ be not raised, then they which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And another way of saying that is that if Christ is not risen, then death is the end of it all. We believe that death is the end of everything for all other parts of God's creation, but not for the human being. We believe that there is something beyond the grave. I would guess that there is not an adult in the audience this morning, but who has experienced the loss of a loved one, at least a friend. You know, one of the things that is so helpful to those of us who conduct funeral services is to be able to stand there by the grave and look at the family and say, this is not the end of it. There is something that was living in this body that is now going back to God, and that's going to live for an eternity, and we can look forward to being together again. I believe that's one of the greatest areas of comfort that can be found when a loved one is lost in death. But folks, if Christ be not raised from the dead, we do not have that comfort, because death would be the end of it. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says the spirit returns back to God who gave it when the body, the dust, returns back to the dust. And Hebrews 9:27 says it is appointed unto man once to die, and there's not a period right after the word die. The verse continues, and after that, the judgment. There is something after death. Death is not the end. The story of the rich man and Lazarus, each one of them died, but then there is the description of Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, a figurative description of being right with God, and there is the rich man in torments, figurative of that suffering of those that are not right with God, showing that both the good and the bad are still alive after death. Death is not the end of it. But he says if we didn't have that resurrection of Jesus, then those that perish or those that are asleep would just perish. That'd be the end of it. Nothing beyond. In Acts the 17th chapter and verse 31, Paul is talking there about the judgment and all of us coming together at the judgment. And in the latter part of that verse, he says the reason that we can be assured of that is that he has raised his son from the dead. He has given us assurance in that he hath raised him from the dead. The fact that Jesus has been raised gives us assurance that there is something beyond this life. If Jesus had not been raised, death would be the end of it. And then going a couple verses later in this context, look at verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now this is a continuation of the statement that's made back in verse 17. If Christ be not risen, then we would have hope only in this life. And we would be miserable with no hope beyond the grave. In a sense, a second way of stating what we just stated relative to death. But he says if we have hope in this life only, if we do not believe that there is another life to come, if we do not believe in the resurrection of Christ and therefore in our resurrection, we would be miserable without any hope. Hebrews 6:19 says that hope is the anchor of the soul. The hope that we have of what's beyond the grave sometimes is about all we have to keep us going in some times of life. Ephesians 2, verse 12, and talking about a previous time before they were Christians, he says, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes are far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. That blood, though, remember, would have no meaning if it were not for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if Christ is not risen, we would be miserable without any hope. In the seven ones of Ephesians 4 and 5, including one God, one Lord, one faith, it's also one hope. And that hope is made possible because we believe Jesus was raised from the dead. And in 1 Peter, the first chapter, where in verse 4 he talks about the inheritance that is incorruptible and that fadeth not away, notice what he says in the third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You just couldn't state it any plainer than that. He's given us a lively hope. Why? By the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. If Jesus is not risen, our preaching is vain. If Jesus is not risen, our faith is empty. If Jesus is not risen, we are yet in our sins. If he is not risen, death is the end of it. And if he is not risen, we are miserable with no hope. But he is risen. And those of us in the church remember that on a regular basis. In 1 Corinthians 11:26, we're told, as oft as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we do show the Lord's death till he comes. What's between his death and his second coming that makes it all meaningful? His resurrection. And then, when each of us is baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, we're baptized into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And Colossians 2:12 says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith in the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And therefore, every time someone is baptized into Christ, we are remembering the resurrection of Jesus along with his death and burial. We're buried, and then through faith in the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead, we could have no belief whatsoever that our sins are forgiven when we have obeyed the gospel if it were not for the fact that God raised him from the dead. And on a regular basis, every Lord's Day with the Lord's Supper, and every time that someone is baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, we are remembering the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And may God help us never to forget it. Because it may very well be the one event that proves all of the other events and brings everything together relative to the true meaning of Jesus Christ as our Savior. What do you think about the resurrection of Jesus? If you have not been baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, you're turning your back on that which is in the likeness of his death, burial, and resurrection to make it possible for us to have forgiveness. If you're not a Christian and do not remember his death till he comes again every Lord's Day, how can you say that you've not forgotten or at least overlooked the resurrection of Jesus Christ? We emphasize the resurrection by becoming Christians and living for Christ. If you haven't done that, won't you come as together we stand and sing?